Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. At this point, there aren't many productions that I have not talked to, but I found a new one. There have been a few productions in Mexico, but there was one in 2018 where it was a tour, and she was Jenny Anydots. So welcome, Cecilia. Listen, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm excited. Like I said, I've had almost every, I mean, there's still a lot of like a few international productions, but I've talked to over 25 different productions that I would say are
around the world.
Official around the world, some regional productions. Great. And I'm always fascinated when I can find a new one because I get to learn about what your particular production was about, your show was about, and the nuances of the characters and the development that goes into that. So we will get into your particular production, but I always like to start at your cat's beginning. So when was the first time you saw the show? Hopefully before 2018.
Well, I saw it. The first time I saw it was 2019. I went to New York with my aunt and, well, I just had money and went to see Cats because I've seen it before on the VHS.
Okay. So you saw the VHS. Video, yeah. Then you did it, and then you went to see it after you did it.
No, I never did it.
Never, okay. Like, so VHS, no. And then you
VHS,
saw it in New York.
And then, well, it came before to Mexico. It came to Mexico in 1991 or two, something like that.
Okay.
First time at the Teatro Silvia Pinal. It was a huge production, but then I was really Lynn, my parents didn't want to take me there, so they went without me.
Oh, they did.
Are
so they went without
yeah,
me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're huge fans of musical theater and musical in general. So they went to see the play and they were like super excited about it. And then they bought the VHS for me because they wanted to, well, they wanted me to see it. And I was super excited. And then the first time I went to New York, I went to see it and I was weirdly thrilled.
Yeah. I was so not like your parents. Your parents loved it and you were a little skeptical.
I was like, I loved the VHS, but then when I saw it, they kind of scared me. And then the show started and, well, it was fun and kind of funny. Yes. I liked it though. And then afterwards, I did it at school. It was school play when I studied acting. And it was fun. I was at Citra, one of the ensemble cats.
Okay. So you did this in school. And then how long between doing it in school until doing it on this tour in Mexico?
Well, it's still, I guess it was like, 2000, I guess. And then 18 years later, I went to audition for this show that Gerardo Quiroz was producing. And I really didn't have my hopes up of getting Jenny Anydots because some of my, well, colleagues were auditioning, and they were like really famous, not only in the theater scene, but also in TV and stuff. So I thought, no, there's no way they're going to give this to me. But then I was the strongest tap dancer, and I'm a, you know, like average singer, and I'm a good dancer in general. So, and I'm a good actress. So that helped, I guess.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got the part, and I was super excited because I love that part in particular. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always loved it, not only because of the tap, but the kind of cat Jenny Anidots is fun.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like my house cat.
It's such a great role. I want you to take me to your rehearsal process and audition process then, because you obviously know the story, you know the musical, you watched the VHS, you got to do it in school, but now you're going on, you know, a very official, you know, tour through Mexico, and that's, you know, being produced with a really useful group and very official. What do you remember about what they're telling you in terms of the story and the arc and how you're supposed to portray Jenny Anidots?
Well, in the audition process, they just told me to sing Bustopher Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Like, okay, so Bustopher Jones. And I was like, okay, so Bustopher Jones. And that was about it. And then they told me, okay, now dance something. And I was like, what? Yes, like a tap thing, whatever you want. And I was like, whatever I want? Okay. Mm-hmm. Dance it. And then they did a choreography for, you know, the whole bunch of people. And I did that too. And I think that was it. They didn't tell me anything about the character at the audition process. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. But and
then when you got the role and you're doing the...
Once I got the role.
Setting of it, you know.
The rehearsals. Yeah,
the rehearsals and the, you're now figuring out who you're performing with and getting ready to kind of go on tour. What do you remember from that section?
Well, it was Jaime Rosas. He was the director. Mm-hmm. And we started, obviously, portraying the cats, you know. Like, yep. Okay, so you have to be on your knees and you have to be like, okay, I'm going to put a table in here and you all have to jump it. And I was like, what? Really? Yes. You have to jump it. Oh my God, but I don't jump that high. Okay, you just try it however you can. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. And always with my knee pads and everything, because I was afraid I was going to hurt myself. Mm-hmm. And then about the character, well, they said, you know, she's like a home cat. She's like really spoiled cat. And that was about it.
Wow. So that's all you're given. You're given just a little bit and nothing else about, you know, these characters could be like Mungo, Jerry and Rumpelteazer could be your children or not. You know, like, is there any of that stuff discussed?
Not at all.
None.
No. I just created it. You know, like, okay, I'm friends with Monkstrap.
Okay.
Because probably he's around my house and he gets to the window and then we kind of have a chat. And the other three, you know, Van Ballerina and Demeter and... What's the other name?
Well, they're different in a lot of them. So there's there's Jelly Lorum, there's...
Jelly Lorum, okay. Yes. Jelly Lorum. And, well, I thought they all came to my window to talk to me, but I would never leave the house, you know, because I'm spoiled and I'm very comfortable in there. So why would I leave? Plus, I'm very lazy and I'm kind of a show-off. So I like to show up. And the only thing that keeps me like, I don't know, awake in the days and kind of gives me a job and something to do is to play with all the cockroaches and the mice in the house. Because I guess that my owners are not in the house, like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the story I created for myself. But no, nobody told me anything about it.
I love kind of the freedom that you get with that. I just imagine you, the Jenny character sitting in the window, like looking down on all the other cats coming up. You're like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to come down there. I've got my life up here.
Chorus, claws, they feed me a lot. Yeah. And I'm very fat. You know, I'm cool here. So if you want to come up and talk to me, that's fine. But I will not go down there to the alley. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I would never.
I love it. It's such a fun, like, I have this visual now of, like, it's almost a Romeo and Juliet of your cat sitting up on, you know, the, up on the terrace. Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not coming down there.
Yeah, yeah. But Mugstrap still, he's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Probably we met when we were little and then they adopted me, like my parents were calling them somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
My owners.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. I want to hear a little bit about the differences in your production. So it's the first time I've talked to anybody on the Mexico tour. This was considered tour three by the way that they seem to be marked. Tell me about, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's Gillian Lynn's choreography. It's not the Andy Blankenbuehler 2016 revival, right? You're doing the much more original production.
Well, not really.
Okay.
Like, the complete choreography was from a Mexican choreographer called Memo Tellez.
Okay, so it's a separate choreographer.
It kind of looked like that. But not like, not really. It was not exactly the same choreography. So it was different.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, my tap number was choreographed by another choreographer, like that choreographer. Her name is Mariana. And well, we did it like together, me and Mariana, the choreography for Jenny Anidas.
That is like fascinating. The three of us. There's not a ton published on this that I could find, because a lot of the stuff that I could find, half the comments are someone's trying to translate it for English, or just in general, trying to just understand, you know, what happens, because some of the stuff just doesn't get documented very well as it goes.
Yes.
And so I was trying to look and I saw, you know, a couple things, like there is the growl tiger, you know, section, and some of that is in your production that wasn't in 2016. And so just trying to kind of piece together what version you all got to do and how it differed from maybe some of the other productions people have seen over the years.
Yes, it was a small production. We had a huge star portraying Grisabella, like a huge Mexican star. She's called Judy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's well known around the world. And about the production per se, it was pretty small. And we didn't have the pirate cat or the dogs and cats fight. You know, it was like the short version.
Yeah.
And yeah, we didn't have any trash on the aisles of the theater, but we did come in between the people at the beginning of the show.
Got to scare everybody to start
all the way.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. All the way. Like, I was on top of everybody. It was fun. I liked that part, actually, until one day. I didn't like it because one guy just grabbed my ass.
Really? Wow. I've heard some people, like, kind of get startled and slap or hit, you know, just like as a reflex. But that's, I've not heard any of that. That's extremely terrible.
Yes, it was very bad. So I lost my cat completely. I went to the security guys and they had to take him out of the theater.
Yeah.
Because it was really scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not good.
I love that part of the show. And it's, you know, it's happening some parts, but COVID, it wasn't happening everywhere. I hated it as an audience member because it scared me. I was not prepared for it. But then I'm like, it's such a fun kind of like way to kick off the show. And I had heard some stories over the years of people who a kid was startled and accidentally just slapped or hit, but I've not heard that, and that's such an unfortunate way to start your show. How do you regained your composure? Because you're pretty early. Your number's really early. And so you got kicked out, yeah, obviously. But then you've got to get back into character and go do the number.
To being a cat.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I was like really angry, really angry.
Yes.
So I was, you know, like saying tons of stuff like this, blah, 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 motherfucker in between all of that. And then, yes. And then afterwards, I just had to relax and say, okay, there's, I don't know how many people were there. It was in Guadalajara.
Mm-hmm.
Guadalajara is a city in Mexico, mm-hmm, in the Republic. And it's a huge state. And the theater there is, it is huge, like 3,000 people. So I said to myself, okay, Cecilia, you have to calm down and do your show because these people deserve it. They paid for a ticket. So, okay, breathe and just keep going.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
There was nothing else I could do. Plus, he was kind of drunk because they were selling alcohol and the, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't excuse it, the audience, but it does. Maybe
no, it doesn't.
Give the answer of how it happened. Yeah, that's a show that I kind of joked the first time I saw it. You might need some alcohol or something to kind of make it make sense. but to an extent, obviously, you gave kind of the, you know, that's an unfortunate memory from the show. What other like more memorable moments do you have from being on tour? Is there any crazy stories that happened that like completely you'll never forget, or any other things that are kind of funny moments that you remember from your time doing the show?
I have a great memory. It was like the third week running the show. It was here in Mexico City because we were in Mexico City for, I guess, like 8 months before the tour started. So the third week we were here in Mexico and, you know, they throw this shoe on stage,
mm-hmm,
right in the first number. And I had to pick it up. So I went to pick it up like always. And then I started running like always. And one of my fellow mates just hit me right on the face.
Oh no.
He was pirouetting and then he hit me with his fist, like on my eyebrow. And I mean, he was really strong. He was one of the Pansible. He was a character.
Yeah.
And he was a strong man. He is a strong man. And he hit me and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to faint. And I managed to get off stage. But you know, my number was the next number. So there was nothing much to do. Like, I mean, I had to be on stage because my understudy wasn't there on the theater that day. So, and there wasn't any time. So, well, I had to do my number. I was about to faint. I remember it was kind of funny. So I did my number the best way that I could. And afterwards, I got out of the stage and there was the doctor, and she saw my face, and she was like, hey, oh my God. Just like, what? Is it really bad? Kind of. It was like, how bad is it? Oh my God. I had like a huge lump on my forehead. And then she grabbed my face and pushed this lump all the way down. It was like, really, really hurtful.
Oh.
And then afterwards, I had to put on my makeup again. And, well, it was fun and funny. And I had a black eye, like, for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I was thinking, as you said that you got hit, I'm like, well, this is probably one of the few shows where you almost can hide the black eye because you're in full makeup and face of, you know, like, you have your plot and that you probably didn't notice it right away, whereas most every other show, it's going to be immediately noticeable.
Yes, totally. And I thought to myself, oh my God, everyone's going to notice that my eyes like this to be closed. Like, I cannot open it. and new. You know, the makeup artist, they did this amazing job, and you couldn't even notice that my eyelid was kind of closed. But it was fun. Want to see the picture?
I do, yeah. But if you have one, not only do I want to see it, but I want to have you send it, and we can post it with this episode when it comes out.
Oh, of course. It is so much fun. I'm going to send it to you. But yeah, it was fun. And, well, I have tons of memories from Cats, you know, very good friends. We really had a lot of fun. I remember another time we were doing the Jenny and Edot's choreography. Mm-hmm. And this new production that Jenny and Edot's goes rolling on top of the big bolts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did that.
Okay.
Yes. And they didn't place the bolts correctly. So as I was diving into them and the dancers were carrying me, one of the bolts just completely separated and it was flown away. And then my feet hit the floor and one of my taps hit my other foot.
Sounds like a lot of injuries for you in this show.
Yes, I had a lot of injuries, but stupid injuries. It was like, really? How did I get hurt like that? So my foot was like really swollen. Even though I could walk, it was nothing. Like it was just like the bump and that was it. But I had to continue playing the character and well, that was it. And what else? What else could I remember? Well, when we were portraying the characters, you know, all the play and everything on Yucatan. Yucatan is this place in Mexico City. It's place on the south. And Jesus Christ, it is so hot. And there was no air conditioning, no nothing.
And you're so crawling around, we were like dancing for two and a half hours. Yeah.
Melting. Yeah. I usually don't sweat, but in that particular place, it was like, oh my God. And we went off stage and our suits were like completely, completely wet, like dripping. And we were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Something, a fan, something. No, there was nothing there. And well, we have to keep on going and do the show.
Yeah. Show must go on. Whether you get hit in the face, whether you get kicked, whether you're in the desert, it doesn't matter. You're still gonna crawl around over the table and around everybody, and it's still gonna happen.
We're gonna take a quick break, and then we'll be back for more of The Wrong Cat Died.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I want to ask a little bit because it seems your show was translated, right? So it was in Spanish.
Yes.
How was that for you, having seen the VHS so much in English? Obviously, it's your native language, but you get the ability to see it. Like, how is it learning kind of the music and the songs that you had heard and knew, now hearing in a different language and having to sing it and perform it in a different language?
It's always complicated.
Yeah.
In every show I played here in Mexico, whenever I listen to the translation and the adaptation, it's like, what? It doesn't say that in English.
Yeah.
You know, the names for Jenny and Edot's in Spanish is Bombonachona.
I'm happy Bombonachona. Say that again.
Bombonachona is kind of... If I had to translate it, it would be like a mix between marshmallow and good cat.
Marshmallow. Okay. I mean, that fits the description. Like, she's
Yes, totally. Like a marshmallow good cat. Cute cat. Yeah.
Marshmallow.
So that's the name for her.
Good cat. Wow. I love, I really enjoy that. What other names kind of have, are there any other funny ones? Like, it's already such crazy names to begin with in the show. Like, Mr. Mistopheles and Rum Tum Tugger and all these other bizarre things that were, that are there. But now you're translating it and you've got Marshmallow Good Cat and some other, like, what are the other ones?
Like, Rum Tum Tugger is Punk Rock Terco.
And what is, how does that translate?
Punk, like that, that, that would be punk, like a punk.
Okay.
Rock, as in rock, you know, like rocking it. And Terco, stubborn.
So, so his name is just Stubborn Punk Rocker. Like, instead of naming, yes, they're just describing the cats with the, as a name. I love that.
Yes. let me think about another one. Bombalurina is Bombalurina. Demeter is Demeter. What else? What else do we have? Gus is Gus. Bustopher Jones is Bustopher's, come on, no. Gordocles Cruz.
So Gordo's fat, right? Chunky.
Yeah. Gordocles Cruz. That would be like saying chunky class. Cruz is like cross. So like a regular last name here in Mexico. So
okay.
Gordocles Cruz. And he's a mariachi cat.
Okay. Well, that fits. I actually like that a lot. That's, yeah. That kind of makes him a little bit more lovable. He's pretty universally hated by most people in the U.S. Like, he's been the, he's the number one answer for least like cat most of the time. So I like a mariachi. Yeah, I like the mariachi version better.
Yeah, he's a mariachi. So he enters on stage and he's like mariachi singing. And then I begin singing like, Gordo que les cruz, moviendo el cabuz. And it's, well, like that.
I just the fact that the song starts with essentially Chunky Cruz, translation's so great. I love that those tweaks are made. Are there any other, is Grisabella different? Is any of the ensemble?
No, Grisabella is the same. Grisabella. Okay. Ensemble names are
like Pouncible, et cetera, Syllabub.
Pouncible, Syllabub.
Mr. Mistopheles. Yeah.
Él es Mr. Mistopheles.
Okay.
Y tenemos también a the Railway Cat is
Skimbleshanks.
How is it in English?
Skimbleshanks.
I know, yes. Here it is. El Gato Express. El Gato Express. How was the name? Mi Ringo, that's the name.
What does that translate to?
Mi Ringo. I don't know. It's like a cat name. I don't know. It's like saying whatever cat name. Mi Ringo, just like that. Yeah, Mi Ringo, El Gato Express. Then we have like the brother and sister.
Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer.
As a son. Pingurriento y rompe trizas. Pingurriento, that would be like a cat that behaves badly.
Okay.
Like he does a lot of, like a brat. No? Pingurriento.
Yeah, that's okay. And, that fits.
Yeah. And rompe trizas. But I don't know, it's kind of
it
weird.
Sounds kind of similar. So like, it's kind of stuck with it a little bit.
Like something that breaks, like somebody that breaks stuff. Rompetrizas.
This is why I love talking to different productions, because this might be my favorite part of learning about your production is the different names that got changed to just describe the cats and then change the songs with it. Like, that's such a fun piece of history that does not exist in, I would assume, in most other shows.
Oh, we have Gatusalem.
And what's that?
Gatusalem. That would be all the Old Deuteronomy. That would be Gatusalem. And that's like Methusalem, you know, Methusalem.
Character. And then Gato is cat, so you're...
Gato is cat, so that's... yeah. So that would be Gatusalem.
That is so fun. That is... I just love that that's happening. I'm just thinking like all these other shows that are going to come on tour and you can't do that. Like you can't have Hamilton and change the name of Hamilton, you know, like in the, of an actual
person. No. But you can
call Marshmallow Good Cat and Chunky Cruise and you can make these changes and nobody's going to know the difference in cats because nobody understands the names to begin with.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we did a cruise line here in Mexico and the names were the same. You know, I was Valerie Clark. So Valerie Clark, it's,
yeah, it's Phantom well, and Valeria Christine.
Clark
and
maybe, but that's it.
There's all, you know, those shows are, Christine. They're not changing, but Cats, free for all. You can completely do that. I love that. That is so fun.
But, you know, like really well known here in Mexico, like the names of the cats, because they have seen the productions throughout the years. Since the first production in 1991, 92. So people actually know the songs and they sing like, Bombonachona, como ven, de día y noches al revés. So
I'm listening. When I put out this episode, and I usually would say Jenny Any Dots on the tour, I'm changing it to. I'm not going to be able to pronounce it right. I'm not even sure I spelled it right.
That would be Bombo, Bombo, like B-O-B, B-O-M-B-O.
Okay.
Bombo.
Bombo.
And then Nachona, like Nacho, you know, Nacho.
Yeah.
Like that.
Bombo Nacho. Nachona. Nah.
Yes. Bombo Nachona.
And is that two words? One word?
No, that's one word.
One word.
Bombonachona, that's it. Yeah.
Bombonachona.
No, not hyphened or anything, just a complete word, like name.
I mean, that's how we're going to list. You are Bombonachona in the 2018 Mexico production of Cats. That is how I'm
you can put
episode.
In between parentheses.
Yeah, I might have
Jenny
to.
Any dots.
Or nobody's going to know. Yeah. But I love it. It's such a fun, again, it's what makes the show so unique is that there's those little nuances, those little tweaks. You can make those changes. You can have another choreographer that can stay true to some of the beginning and it can go for 40 years and go all over the world, be international. It can run in different languages because it doesn't make sense to begin with that you can have a little bit of this fun to really kind of tweak those things and still visually put on a stunning show. And to the point you said in the beginning, kind of when we were talking about what you were told very little about how you play Bombonachona, but you were able to kind of add to it, pick your different pieces and relationships and kind of build on it as you go. And that still will be authentic and true to the story because the core of the story is about tribe and community and a family. And this redemption arc, and you can make those adjustments, which is, I think, what makes it really cool and why I love talking to people who have done it all over the world is because there's a different little tweak every different place you go.
Yes, totally. Totally.
Okay. I want to do some rapid fire here so we can get to the most important question of this podcast. Before we get there, if you could go on for any cat for one night, whether it's in your vocal range, whether you can dance it, you can sing it, just if you could go play one cat one night, who would you want to go on as?
Mungastrap.
Mungastrap. Love it. Who are your favorite and least favorite characters from the show? Like, which cat would you be really good friends with and which cat would you hate?
Let me think about it. I love Random Tugger. Bon Rocterico.
Yeah.
Yes, I love him. And I hate... No, I hate. Maybe. No, not really. I don't know. Who do I hate?
It's tough because the number one answer is now a fun mariachi cat. That's usually everyone's go-to choice.
I like him. Yeah,
how can you not?
Yeah, I love him. Thank you. Jelly Lauren, maybe.
Okay. What's your favorite song from the show?
Well, obviously, mine.
Yeah.
Bombonachona, yeah. Obviously.
Okay, I always ask one fun one, and now that we've spent time learning names of the ones that were changed, if you were going to change one of the cat's names into Spanish that wasn't changed, so Grisabella, Mr. Mistopheles, like, you know, some of these ones that are exactly the same in English, but would describe them in Spanish, who would you change and what would you change their name to just make them, you know, good marshmallow cat or Gordito Cruz, or, you know, like whatever that version is, like Chunky Cruz, like what would be one you would change?
I think Monka Strap, because it doesn't make any sense to me, but he actually looks like the cat I had growing up, you know, had this black cat and he was powerful and kind of sexy and very strong. And so I would name him Fuston.
Was that your cat's name? Or is that?
Yeah, Fuston.
Okay.
That was my cat's name and I loved him and he just looked like Monka Strat.
Yeah.
So Fuston.
Okay.
Fuston would be a great thing.
Okay.
I guess.
Most important question. So I've argued at length that I don't think Grisabella should be the Jellicle choice. And I would like to hear from you if you want to defend Grisabella or if you are going to make your own different Jellicle choice.
No, not defend Grisabella. I mean, why would I? It doesn't make any sense. Like, she's mean to everybody. She's an outsider. She went away like a million years ago. None of the young cats know her. And I mean, she's kind of a whore. She has done nothing good. And then suddenly she needs redemption. Why? So I would go definitely for Gus.
I love it. I love how anti-Grisabella you are. I very rarely find somebody that as passionately going against her as me, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, you have Gus, and he reads, you know, books to children, to kids, to young kittens, and he's a well-known theater actor, and he has done great things, and he's very kind. He's really old. He's not having a great time. I think he has Parkinson. So, you know, he's always trembling. So I guess he has Parkinson. So, deserves it.
He needs it. He deserves it. He's the number two answer number one answer that's not Grisabella in my 150 plus episodes of doing this show.
Yeah, it's a number two.
Grisabella's still number one, and then he's number two.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But why?
I think we get a lot of traditionalists. As much as I'm trying to slowly change everyone's mind, I do think Grisabella has the most votes because there's a lot of people that's the show. Like, that's how it was written. And so I think there's some people that just like the traditionalists. And the redemption arc, there's the idea that she's returning and she needs it. But I'm with you. I think she is mean and deserves to, if you're going to accept her back, she should stay with the family for one more year.
Yes.
And let Gus go.
Yes. She should change here,
yeah,
like on Earth, not change there. So that's really easy. Like, okay, I'm going to die and then I'm a saint. Why? You should change on Earth.
I'm
not
with
a
you.
Good message.
I'm completely with you. This is my exact argument. So we are 100% aligned. This has been so much fun. I enjoy learning about the production, hearing the stories. I'm glad that you're not doing the show anymore because it sounds like it was dangerous for your health as you did it over time. But I am fascinated by Bombonachona. And let's see if I'm going to butcher all the rest of them. I tried to write a couple of them more down. I have the translations, the Stubborn Punk Rocker and the Chunky Cruz and Mariachi.
Chunky Cruz.
And Skimble Shanks, and that is my favorite part is learning that.
Mi Ringo, yes, Mi Ringo. You can write that like Mi Ringo, that's easy.
Yeah, Mi Ringo, and then Old Deuteronomy's is Gatos Mul. I'm not getting the second half of that.
Gatusalem.
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 How many of them can you sing a couple of them in there where it comes into their name, into the song?
Yes. Bombonachona, como ves, de día y noche es al revés. Su piel parece mezcla de un gato usual y un montés. Eso es. That would be.
That's the
genialidad.
Okay.
And then Christopher Jones is Gordo Cles Cruz moviendo el cabuz. Camina con garbo y con ley. Él va donde va. Uy, uy, uy. Pues de Garibaldi es el rey.
I love it. It's so fun.
And then what we... Es mi Ringo, el gato express. El gato del tren express.
Singing the cat train? Is that the translation? I love that. That's so fun.
Yes.
I need to find a bootleg of this production so badly.
I'm going to send to you the number, like, yeah, Jenny Any Dots. Wait by me. Yes.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. What about,
so you had fun.
Well, give me one more. Give me the, give me Tuggers from Tom Tugger.
El punk rock terco es un gato genial. Si tú dices sardina, yo digo champagne. Y luego dice, él hará lo que le pasca. Y si no te parece, te aguantas. Eso canta, that would be punk rock perco. And then we have, pingurriento y rompe trizas. Somos pareja de gato sin par. Nos ves por ahí haciendo acrobacias. Oh, alambrismo y malabar.
I honestly could have you keep doing this for hours. This is so, it's so fun because it's such a minor tweak, and it's so great that to put it into the, you know, the native language of the area, which they do, I know, in Germany, and they do it in a couple other countries, and then obviously there's the versions that travel around in English too. But I think it's fun to have those tweaks and those slight changes because it adds a layer to anyone that's seen the show. Like I think about someone who has seen the VHS or saw it on Broadway or saw the English version and then can kind of laugh a little bit at the fun of like, I love it that it's not Skimbleshanks the Railway Cat. It's you know, Skimbleshanks is on the cat train and, you know, like just these minor things that are fun, but it's still the same melody and the same music. And it just adds a layer to the history of a show that's been for 40 plus years.
Yes, totally.
Well, this has been so fun. How can people stay up with you and keep up with you and what you're working on and social media and everything?
Okay, my social media is Cecilia Arias 28. That will be Cecilia. Arias 28.
All right. And we will tag that too. That's Instagram and everything else.
That's Instagram. Great. Yes. Well, that's the same for X and everything else.
Awesome.
And I'm now on Tuck Talk.
Okay.
That is a comedy about obsessive compulsive behavior.
All right. We will. If you share that too,
OCD.
We'll link everything too so we can share everything that you're working on.
Yeah, it is not a musical, it's a play, and it's a French play actually. And it has been playing here in Mexico for like around 10 years.
Wow.
It's like a huge success. I my cat is right here. Olivia. I'm playing this character that is so much fun. It has this compulsion about cleaning stuff and, you know, this fear of getting illnesses like COVID and everything. Yeah. So she's really scared and she's always cleaning. She's always scared. And they're all in this doctor's office, on this therapist office. Oh. Olivia. And she's messing with me.
Yeah.
And well, that's it. Tuk Tuk. It's playing in Mexico City. So you should go and watch it if you're here in Mexico.
Yeah, we will link it. So if you are around and close and can go check it out, please do. And we'll put the link to how to get tickets and learn more. Thank you again. This has been so fun to have you on and to learn more about the show. It's every time I learn something new, and this is a very good example of that, learning all the fun nuances of the version that you got to perform.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been an honor and so much fun. I loved it.
Awesome. Thank you. And thanks everyone else for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Citizen Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at The Wrong Cat Died, or check out our website, TheWrongCatDied.com.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.